It says the following: "At ispei perurim kazayis." Then one recites a bracha of hamotzi and berachas hamazon. If leslei perurim kazayis, then a mezonos followed by the al hamichya. And the Gemara comments that Rabbi Yosef says that mina aminama. Where do I see in fact that this is true, that it warrants these brachas? So Rabbi Yosef refers you to the brice that says the following: If nitalon, if the kohen goes in and takes the mincha, if he does so la'ochla in order to eat it, then he recites the bracha of hamotzi. And the Gemara continues and says itznan, and this is a reference to the Mishnah Menachos Sandav Ayin Hei Amud Beis, when it comes to, as Rashi points out, a minchas machvas, a minchas marcheshes, v'chulan posesin bekazayis. Before the kmitza is done, when it comes to the mincha, you break it down into relatively small pieces, pieces the size of a kazayis. So therefore, if the Mishnah says that you take the mincha and you break it down into pieces that are a kazayis, and the Brisa says that when the Kohen goes ahead and eats from the mincha, he makes a bracha of hamotzi, so Rav Yosef says that's exactly my chiddush, that if you have this case of chavitza, as long as there are perim v'kazayis, the bracha is hamotzi, and the parallel is when it comes to a mincha. So the Gemara continues and says that Abai asked the following kasha: if this is true, if the model is the case of a mincha, where the mincha before kmitz is broken down, but you have pieces that are a kazayis, and that is why the bracha of hamotzi is recited, what would you do according to the Tana de Rabbi Yishmael? Because the Tana de Rabbi Yishmael says the following, that when you break down the mincha prior to kmitza, you do a much thorough form of psisa. Not just simply that poses in bakazayis, but according to Tana de Rabbi Yishmael, ad shemachzir in the sultan, you go ahead and you break it down into very fine particles. And therefore, do you really mean to say that if that's true, the bracha would be one of mezonos? It wouldn't be a bracha of hamotzi? That certainly is not true. Even though something is broken down, still the bracha of hamotzi is retained. And how do we know that that is true? The Gemara continues and quotes the Braisa. What happens if likeit mikulon? What happens if a person gathers the small pieces? Again, this is literally not referring to the case of a mincha itself, but similar to the case of a mincha. So if a person will go ahead and eat from this on Pesach, he is chayim kares if it's chametz. If it is matzah, yatzi rechovaso bepesach. So don't you see that even if something is thoroughly broken down, one could use this for the mitzvah of matzah. So don't you see that there is no apparent need for perurin kazayins? According to Tana de Rabbi Yishmael, the mincha is broken down thoroughly, and yet the bracha on the mincha is that of hamotzi. And similarly, the Braisa tells us, likeit mikulon, when it comes to matzah, yasi rechovaso bepesach. So how can that be? So the Gemara says the following, hacha mayaskin, we're talking about a case of she'erson. Maybe in that case of matzah, we're talking about a case where true, it was broken down, but yet, and then we'll have to see what erson mean. It was re-kneaded or rebaked in order to create the matzah. The Gemara says that's difficult. If it means that it was broken down, but then it was, again, used to create matzah, so therefore it should not say likeit mikulon in the case of va'achlan, and you eat them, it should say va'achlo, and you eat it. If you're referring to the very small pieces, the Gemara says, we understand the Lashon HaBraisa, likeit mikulon, kazayis va'achlan. In such a case, then the Chiddush is that it retains its status even if it is very small pieces. But if you're telling me it's the case of Ersan, that you went ahead and you created a matzah out of it, in such a case, achalo mi vayle. So Rabbi Yosef answers as follows, that no, that braisa that's referring to the case of matzah is referring to a case of baba milechem gadol. If there was a part of lechem gadol and you break off piece, even if it is something which is very small, let's say perim kazayis, the bracha is still considered to be that of hamotzi. But as Rashi comments, if nifras kulo, if the entire pas is broken down entirely, so Rashi writes that lo chashivi psisin habchuchim akazayis, those small particles are not considered to be as pas, and therefore Rashi writes, you would not recite the bracha of hamotzi, you would not fulfill the mitzvah of achilas matzah. That's the Shaklavatari again of the Sugya. So you have the case of Chavitza, where Rabbi Yosef says there's a difference in terms of Islei Pirurin, Lespei Pirurin, and the parallel to the case of Menachal sent to Achilas Matzah. What exactly is this case? What is the definition of Chavitza? So here you find several deos in Rishonim. Rashi writes here in our Sugya, this is also the Shita of the Balamor and of Chavzayim Wadbeis and Dapi Harif. This is also the Shita of the Ra'ah, the Shita of the Ritva. The following, Rashi says, Shemefarm betocha ilfos lechem. Rashi says it means that you take small pieces of bread and you make out of it a cooked dish. That's the case of chavitza. So you start out with bread, it's broken down, and then bishlosa, and then it's cooked. The question then of our sugya is the following. The bread, obviously, is a bracha pamotzi, but it didn't retain its status as lechem, but rather bishlosa. Rashi says that you take it and place it besocha ilfas, and it is cooked. Now the question again then is the following. Sometimes one could argue that the bishul process itself, the bishul, is mafkia mimenu shem lechem. You have the dough and it is baked, that is pas. If you have bread and now it is further processed, it's broken down and it is cooked, when do we assume that it still retains a shem lechem? When do we assume that now it's considered to be a tavshil whose bracha is mizalmos? Good? That is the question of Rashi. For that, Rabbi Yosef says the following. If is beberurim kazayis, if still you have pieces of lechem that are a kazayis, the status of the hamotzi is retained, hamotzi in berchas hamazon. If, however, less beberurim kazayis, if it's thoroughly broken down and then cooked, now it is considered to be a tavshil, a mezonos, and a bracha achas me'ein shalosh. If you look in Rashi, Rashi now in Derimaschil Mina Aminala. That's how Rashi defines chavitza. Chavitza means small, broken pieces of bread that are now cooked. So in that instance, Rabbi Yosef says sometimes hamotzi, sometimes it's considered to be berchas mezonos. Rabbi Yosef says the following, Mina Aminala. How do I know my chiddush? What exactly is Rabbi Yosef attempting to prove? Rabbi Yosef had two halves, no? One is if is beperurin hamotzi, less beperurin is mizanos. When Rabbi Yosef says, Mina Minala, where do you see my chiddush? What half of Rabbi Yosef's statement was considered to be the chiddush? So if you look in Rashi, Rashi writes the following, Apirurin b'kazayis mevarchen hamotzi. When Rabbi Yosef said, Mina Minala, where do you see my chiddush? What exactly was Rabbi Yosef addressing? The first half of the statement. That if in fact there is still a kazayis, the bracha is considered to be that of hamotzi. That line in Rashi is a chiddush. Rabbi Yosef made two statements. When the Gemara says, Mina Aminala, so Rashi writes, the chiddush of Rabbi Yosef was statement one, that chavitza de isbe pirure, the bracha is considered to be hamotzi. In other words, that according to the view of Rabbi Yosef, the chiddush is that the bracha is considered to be hamotzi. The svara hachitzona, so to speak, the starting point would have been the following. That you went ahead and you took bread, that's true. But since it underwent now a new process of bishul, so in such a case, bishul is mafkia, the shem lechem. So therefore, I understand very well why now you would recite a bracha of mizonos and a bracha of alamechia. It is no longer considered to be lechem. Rabbi Yosef states the following chiddush, that's true if it's broken down. But if Islei Perurin Kazayis, that is not the case. Rabbi Yosef considered that to be his chiddush. And therefore, when Rabbi Yosef wanted to bring Araya, he was proving the first half of the statement. No? It's as though that the second half of the statement was a milsa de pshita, that ayinde bishul das mafkia de shem lechem. Now it's a tavshil. The chiddush is that that's not always the case. Good? How did Rashi know that that's true? That the Chiddush Rabbi Yosef is the first half of the statement as opposed to the second? So very simple raya. And this is the comment of the Pnei Yeshua. That when Rabbi Yosef proves his Shita, what was the raya that Rabbi Yosef brought? The raya was the case of Menachos, where there is a Kazayis, v'kulan posasan v'kazayis. That was exactly the raya of Rabbi Yosef. If nitalan la'ochlam, If the Kohen goes in and takes the mincha, he makes a bracha pamotzi, and the Mishnah Menachos tells us that posasan bekazayis. Boshev shat, that's the chiddush of Rashi. You see from the Gemara that Rabbi Yosef considered the chiddush that he had to prove to be the case of a kazayis. And therefore the raya which is brought is from the Mishnah Menachos Nafayinei that deals with the case of kazayis. Why is that considered to be the chiddush? Perhaps that's what led Rashi to assume chavitza must be a case that it was subject to bishul. Something must have changed to the point that min hastami would assume that the brach is mezonos, and the chiddush is sometimes the shem lechem is retained, and that's what we have to try to prove. If, for example, it would be a very different case that there wasn't additional processing, for example, through bishul. So maybe one would argue the opposite is true. That the fact that you should recite Hamotzi, that should be the starting point. You have a piece of bread, and that you don't recite Hamotzi. The Chiddush perhaps is that at some point its composition is altered, and then you only recite the Bracha of Mezonos, but that you have to prove. Rashi learns the sugya in the opposite way. And that is that the Mezonos is the Milsa de Pshita. What the Gemara is attempting to prove is that sometimes you recite a Bracha Pamotzi. And where did Rashi get this from? Because just look at the Raya, Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef's Raya is from the case of Kazayis, as though that is what he's attempting to prove. What's somewhat difficult, as Tosfos points out, that we'll have to address is the following. If that is the case of Chavitza, Chavitza is talking about a case of Piruri Lechem that were subject to Bishul. So how exactly does that relate to the case of Menachos? After all, Tosfos says, in terms of Menachos, is that really the case? That you have Piruri Lechem that were subject to Bishul? What exactly is the parallel between Chavitza as opposed to the case of Menachos? So Tosfos Nirmasel Chavitza writes the following, that according to Rashi, you have to assume that we're dealing with the type of mincha that was subject to tigun, that was fried. And since netagnin b'shemen, since the mincha is fried, therefore, kinis bashal dami. And therefore, if you see that on a fried mincha, you can recite the bracha of hamotzi, hu hadinami in the case of chavitza itself. This is all the way that Rashi understands the sugya. If you look in the Tosfos Dermasel Chavitza, and if you look in Rabbi Yonah quotes this the name of Rav Haigam, the Rush quotes this the name of Rabbeinu Tam, so the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, our Tosfos, Rav Haigam, is the following. Chavitza is something which is entirely different. Chavitza is not, right, lechem that was broken down and subject to Bishul, but rather, right, as Tosfos comments, is Pirur Lechem, Shehidvikum al yedei mashke. You have different pieces of lechem that are joined through some type of liquid. For example, marak, chalav, shemen, dvash. There is no bishul. But rather, you go ahead and you take the pieces of lechem, right, and they are joined together. A new composite, a new composition is formed, right, using a mashke. Sometimes, when that is done, one could argue that nifka mimenu, shem lechem, right? Tosfos will agree that sometimes when that is done, the shem lechem now is paka, not paka ayidei bishul, but simply paka because that when something is soaked and joined with water, sometimes the shriya itself, the mashke shehishru bo es hapirurin, at times that will go ahead and break down the lechem, and it's no longer considered to be hamotzi. Just like the Tosfos writes, the next Tosfos, the Maschel Amar, Tosfos says, if you take pirurin and you put it in water, and now hamayim yislamdim, and now you see that the water is changing color because the pirurim are dissolving. So therefore, Tosfos says that ozalei tirusa denama, it no longer has its tzuras apas. Sometimes if you go ahead and use liquid together with lechem, the lechem will in fact break down, and now it no longer loses its tzuras apas. So one could raise the following issue. That's the chiddush then of Rabbi Yosef. If you have liquid, and it is not subject to further bishul, but rather it is combined with water, and sometimes it is broken down so significantly it loses the shem lechem. Where do you draw the line? Where do you assume that yes, it's broken down? When do you assume no, it's broken down? That's exactly now the chiddush of Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says the following: if it's broken down to the point of less than purim b'kazayis, in such a case, no, it's considered to be mizalnos. If isle purim kazayis, then it's considered to be that which is hamotzi. Now, so if it's broken down, mizalnos. If it's not broken down, the lechem is still intact. How do we define intact? Pirurim kazayis. Then it's considered to be a bracha of hamotzi. One could argue, and this is the chiddush of the Pnei Yoshua. Pnei Yoshua is found in our Sugya Maskil Vitana and Devra Maskil Amar, where the Pnei Yoshua writes, what half of Rabbi Yosef's statement was the chiddush? Pnei Yoshua suggests that according to Tosus, Rav Haigon, Rav Yotam, the opposite of Rashi. If I were to tell you this chiddush, that you have lechem, and sometimes that if lechem is combined with a liquid, with marak, cholav, shemen, dvash, the liquid will break it down to the point that it is no longer considered to be lechem. So my chiddush is the following. If it's intact, the bracha is hamotzi. If it's no longer intact, it's considered to be mizalnos. So what half of my statement was the chiddush? L'chora, the second half of the statement was the chiddush. No? I have lechem, and I add a little bit of shemen, and the lechem is still intact. You recite a bracha hamotzi. Isn't that obvious? Isn't that the milsa de pshita? You would think because you add some dvash or chalav and isbe perur and kazayis, and still the lechem is intact. Why would you think differently? Of course, the bracha is considered to be hamotzi. The chiddush, apparently, according to Tosus, is the following, that there comes a point in time where I'll argue that no, now it is broken down. And now the bracha is mezonos, the chol, that's the chiddush. See, according to Rashi, the entire lechem has undergone such a significant change because now it's a tavshil, it was subject to bishul. The chiddush of Yosef is sometimes the shem lechem is retained. According to Tosus, the Pnei Yeshua suggests the opposite should be the case. It didn't undergo such a fantastic change. There was no further bishul process. It was combined with marak, cholav, shem, and dvash. So if the lechem is still intact, well, of course, isn't that the starting point? The bracha should be hamotzi. The chiddush is at some point in time this is broken down, and now the bracha is considered to be mizonos. So therefore, right, the Pnei Yeshua comments that what half of Rabbi Yosef's statement is the chiddush, that should depend on the shita of Rashi and Tosus and understanding our Gemara. See, Rashi assumed the chora a raya to his shita from the proof of Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef is proving the case from the kazayins. Very good. That's according to Rashi. According to Tosus, it's somewhat difficult. No? Rabbi Yosef is proving from the sugya in Menachos that if you have a kazayis pas, the bracha is hamotzi. Yeah, of course. That wasn't the chiddush of Rabbi Yosef. One has to assume that the raya from Menachos, according to Rabbi Yosef, was really not the case at hand of Menachos, but rather it was, right, the implication, or perhaps the sheer kazayis. That's what the Chazon Ish writes here in Simen Chavav, in Siv Katan Dalet, that according to Tosus Ushita, the Rabbi Yosef is just simply, Eino le'etzem hadin, it's not the very halacha itself, but rather l'shir kazayis. The fact that when it comes to Menachos, V'kulon posason b'kazayis, that seems to imply that kazayis is critical in determining whether status is retained. And therefore, it has the full status of the mincha if you have a kazayis. The implication is, if it didn't have the shear of a kazayis, it wouldn't have the status of a mincha. And that allows Rabbi Yosef to assume, if less than perur kazayis, now the bracha is considered to be mizonos. But again, the raya is much less direct, according to Tosus Ashita, than that of Rashi. If you look in the Rishonim, there's a third possibility, and that is the view of Rabbi Nechananel. Right? This is quoted in Rabbi Yonah and quoted in the Rosh, where Rabbeinu Chananel seems to write that the Gemara is dealing with a much, much more basic issue. What is the bracha on pirurei lechem? Tosa says it was prerechem that was subject to combination with mashke. Rashi says it's prehalechem sinis bashlu. Rabbeinu Chananel writes, no, it's a very basic suffix of the Gemara as follows. What about pirurei lechem themselves? You have small pieces of bread, small pieces of bread without any further processing. Is that still considered to be that which has a tsura sapas? Does it have a torisa denahama, a toar lechem? Pirurim ktanim. This is even true, Rabbeinu Chananel's chiddush of pirurim yaveshim, even if it's yavesh, even if it wasn't combined at all. When Rabbeinu Chananel learns the case of chavitza, it's true. The definition of chavitza is not piruri lechem. Rabbeinu Chananel admits to the sheet of Tosus that chavitza are small pieces of bread that are combined with other ingredients. That's what chavitza is. But the reason that we assume at times the brach is mezonos is not a function of the combination. Rather, it's because when bread is broken down into very small pieces, it loses the shem lechem. That's the chiddush of Rabbeinu Chananel. In terms of the description of the case, Rabbeinu Chananel agrees. As Tosus. But whereas Tosus assumes that it is the combination to mashke, which is mavkiyah the shem lechem, Rabbeinu Chananel assumes, no, it is the size of the pirurim. You deal with crumbs, right? You come to a point that it no longer has a status of pas. And what then is the cutoff point? That's the Chiddush Rabbi Yosef. Whether is pirurim kazayis or less pirurim kazayis. That is defining a much more basic issue when al-pidinet has the status of lechem. As, right, a mashal to the sheet of Rabbeinu Chananel the following. Let's assume, for example, a person has a pri. And miachan, you go ahead and you take the pri, and you crush it. Well, there comes a point in time that the fruit, which is in a crushed state, is no longer considered to be a pri ha'etz or a pri adama, and now the bracha would be, right, a bracha of esha hakol. If the pieces are still intact, then we can label it as a pri adama or a pri ha'etz. If, however, miachan, you break down the pri entirely, it is no longer considered to be, right, peros ha'aretz, no longer considered to be peros ha'ilon. So too, Rabbeinu Chananel assumes this is true when it comes to hamotzi in the birchas ha'lechem. That if the lechem is broken down into pirurin, so at some point in time it loses the shame lechem. Just as it's true when it comes to peros, Rabbeinu Chananel assumes that this is true when it comes to these cases as well. Boshav Shat, the other Rishonim, absolutely disagree. The suffek of the Gemara is not regarding Pirur Lechem. Of course, Pirur Lechem maintained the status of Lechem. It's only because it was subject to further processing. Either Hidbiku Ma'idei Mashka or Nizbashlu. That you have the suffek of the Gemara, the Chiddush of Rabbi Yosef. What is wrong with the Mashal of Rabbeinu Chananel? Rav Rishon would argue as follows. Isn't there a marked difference between peros as opposed to a case of lechem? When you're dealing with a pri, where a pri is considered to be a natural unit, then we understand very well that you can only recite the bracha of pri ha'etz or pri hadama when that toar ha'pri is maintained. And therefore, if hishtan, if it is absolutely broken down, that itself is mafkia the shame pri, mafkia the shame peros ha'ilon or peros ha'dama. When it comes to the case of lechem, no, that certainly is not true. That is not the natural unit, right? The chitin, the sorum, were already subject to such a significant change. Kvar hishtane. In which case, Rav Rishonim maintained the fact that the lechem is broken down, no, that's insignificant. It must be the Chiddush Rabbi Yosef means that there was a further process, not just simply breaking down. If you're setting a bracha on a natural unit, then you can argue that the unit is no longer intact if it is broken down. That's peros. But if the bracha is not on this natural unit such as pas, that is a man-made composition, so to speak. In such a case, breaking down of the pas itself is not going to alter the bracha. And therefore, the case of our Gemara of Chavitza must be some further processing that is required. Interesting possibility. I'll give you just a mashma adamadome. The Chazon Ish writes in Hilchos Shabbos, in Siman Nun Zayin, that that's the secret to Ein Tochin Achar Tochin. What is Ein Tochin Achar Tochin? It doesn't mean the same thing as Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. Ein Tochin Achar Tochin means the following, that the definition of Tochin is when you break down a natural unit. You take a pre, which naturally is a unit, and you break that down, that is the Malach of Tochin. What does Ein Tochin Achar Tochin mean? You go in and you take a challah and you break it down into crumbs. That doesn't have a unique expression. The challah itself is not considered to be a single entity. That's a man-made composition. That's an artificial unit. Breaking down an artificial unit does not change status. And therefore, that's not called Tochin. It's not just simply because one strike and you're out. You're only chai for Tochin once and not a second time. The definition of Tochin is, as the Chazon Ish writes, to undo, to break down a chibur tivis, which is true of a pri. That's not true when it comes to a case of lechem. Rashi writes a similar concept in Shabbos Kuf Mem Daled when it comes to schita. That schita, which is a form of disha, disha means breaking down extraction of a natural unit. You have a natural unit of a grape in its juice. To extract the juice of the grape, that's a problem of schita, which is a tolda of dash. Rashi writes in that sugi in Shabbos Kuf Mem Daled that wouldn't apply to kvashim, to pickles. Why not? Because Rashi writes lo godo besochan, right? Pickle juice. That's not a natural unit. You take cucumbers and you let it sit for a significant period of time in liquid, it will absorb. And when you squeeze it out, you are extracting that which is not an inherent chibur. So Rashi writes, that's true when it comes to schita, right? Bashav Shav the Gemara, that's true when it comes to tochein. But you see in Dinei Shabbos, that certainly a natural unit, which is broken down as a malacha daraisa, not true of that which is a man-made composition or compound. Note, the same thing is true, Bashav Shav, according to Rov Rishonim, why they reject this beer of Rabbeinu Chananel. If you have a natural unit and the bracha reflects that natural unit, Pri Ha'etz, Pri Adama, so if Miachan, so of course the bracha is altered. That's not true when it comes to something such as Lechem. That certainly would not be the case. So that lechor is why they do not assume, like the Rabbeinu Chananel, it must be that the Chavitza Lahalacha, right, was altered because of further processing, but the Machlokas, Rashi and Tosos, what type of processing our Gemara is referring to. Rashi says it's referring to Perurin as mentioned in his Bashlo, and the view of Tosos, we're talking about a case of Perurin Shenis Dabku Al Yedei Hamashke. Is there any difference, right, between these Shitas? They describe Chavitza being very different, but is it so obvious that there is a Machlokas? If you look in the Raivid, for example, the Raivid Dab Chav Zayin Wad Beis and Dabi Harif, the Raivid Nar Sugya writes the following. If you have Pirurin Shiniz Bashlu, so you have smaller pieces of lechem, right, that are either cooked, or Pirurin Shiniz Dabku, or if they're altered in a different way, the way Tosas describes, the Raivid writes the halach is the same. That if there is a Suras HaPas, a Torah Lechem, the Maskanas HaGemara, the Brachi is Hamotzi, and that is true of even a Flesbuhu Kazayis. So when the Ravid describes the Maskanas HaGemara, the Ravid writes that this is true regardless of what the process was. Whether it was Ayyadei Mishul, whether it was Ayyadei Hadbaka, the bottom line is the same. The Gemara writes that if it has a Torah Lechem, then the Brachi is considered to be that of Hamotzi. A Pashav Shad, according to the Ravid Shita, it's true that the description, right, Rashi and Tosus are very different, but in terms of the bottom line, right, there will not be a significant distinction as to whether it was Nizbashla, whether Nizdamku. If you look in the other Rishonim, however, they disagree. Rabbi Yona, a little bit earlier, and Daf Chavav Medbeis and Daf Be'arif, Rabbi Yona writes that there is an essential nafgamina between Rashi and Tosus. Rashi's sheet is the following. that if you have pirurin shenis bashlu, as long as there is tirusa denama, as long as there is somewhat of a tsuras hapas, we'll have to see how we define that. But even if pirurin were subject to bishul, as long as there is a toar lechem, tirusa denama, tsuras hapas, according to Rashi, the brachis hamotzi. That's the maskanas of Gemara. What the Gemara quotes, the name of Rav Sheshes and Rava. Rav Sheshes says that again, even if it's pachos mikazayis. And Rava says, as long as ikal le tirusa denama. According to Rashi, that means that lechem that was subject to bishul, where the pieces are quite small, less mikazayis, but as long as it has tirusa denama, the bracha is considered to be hamotzi. Rav Yona writes, that would not be true, according to Tosos. According to Tosos, bishul itself is mafkia, the shem lechem. And therefore, that is not the case. That would always be a mezonos. The language of Rabbi Yonah is the following, that according to Tosos, kevin shehu mevusho, lo toar lechem lo. It no longer has a Torah of lechem. If something is not inherently altered through cooking, but all that is combined with mashke, no, now we can ask ourselves, does it have a Torah lechem? Does it not have a Torah lechem? That's the chiddush of Rav Sheshes and Rava. But when Tosus disagrees with Rashi, it's not just simply because of the parallel to Menachos, because fundamentally they assume that bishul will so significantly alter the composition that that automatically reduces it to a bracha of mezonos, unlike the sheet of the Ravid. This is also found, in addition to Rav Yonah, this is found in the Archos Chaim, and this is the language that the Mishnah Berurah uses. The Mishnah Berurah in Kuf Samaches, in Sivkat Nun Vav, Mishnah Berurah writes the following, that Kevan Sinis Bashel, Eino Chashuv Toar Lechem. It no longer has its Tzuras Hapas, if it was subject to bishul. If it was subject to hadbaka, oh, that's when you have to assess. That doesn't necessarily mean that it no longer has, right, a tzuras hapas. Just because you added some liquid to it, but if it was thoroughly cooked, processed, that is not the case. So Pashup Shat, according to Tosus, Menyona writes against Rashi. The Tosus Ashita is that bishul is mafkia, right, the tzuras hapas, the shem lechem. Why exactly is that true? The language of Rabbi Yonah, that kevin shemavusha lav toar lechem lo, it no longer has a tzuras hapas, a toar lechem. One possibility is the following, that this is simply a practical, a pragmatic observation. The tam is considered to be simply the metzias. That's Pashup Shat Rabbi Yonah, the Pashup Shat Archos Chaim. If you look, for example, in Shulchan Aruch, if you look at the Matzah Sashekel, right, and that's Simen, Kuf Samaches, on the Magen Avraham in Sivkat Mechavches, the language of Matzah Sashekel is, well, once you go in and cook it, Shuv Eino Nikar Shehu Lechem. You can't recognize the pieces of Lechem any longer. It's no longer recognizable. The language the Chaznish uses in Simen Chavav is Nishtan Et Tzuraso HaKodemes. Its form has been altered. And therefore, according to Tosus Ashita, unlike Rashi, that bishul itself is mafgia, the tzuras hapas, the tirusa denahama. It's interesting when you look in the Mishnah Berurah, and again, in Kuf Samaches, this is Sivkatan Memtes, here the Mishnah Berurah seems to stress a different aspect. Why is it that Tosus assumes different than Rashi? Not simply because of the raya of the Gemara, but because of the assumption that ayde bishul, that is mafkia, the tzuras hapas. Why is that true? Mishnah Berurah writes the following, afilu im nireh shiyesh aleihem tor lechem. You know, if you look at it, and you see that there's something that has the appearance of bread. Nonetheless, mevarach bar min mezonos, Mishnah Berurah writes, the shem tavshil aleihem. When something is cooked, it no longer has a shem lechem, but al pidin, now it has a shem tavshim. Whereas Pashup Shat Rabbi Yonah seemed to be just an observation that when something is cooked, so the lechem is no longer nikar, Right? The Mishnah Berurah writes that even if you look at it and you can see that there are pieces of bread, nonetheless, the shame tavshalehim. This seems to be a different emphasis. We'll have to see as we learn the sugya further. It's as though that the bishul lahalacha, right, creates a shame tavshil, right, dafia, that is pas, bishul is considered to be that which is tavshil. So according to Rabbi Yonah, right, there's a fundamental difference between Rashi and Tosus, right, in our sugya. The machlokes is, if you have something subject to bishul, does it retain its tzuras apas? According to Tosus, no. And different possibilities why. Either because of mitzios or lahalacha, now it has a shem tavshin. The Magen Avraham writes a further nafkamina. The Magen Avraham is found in Kuf Samaches, in Sifat Mechav Ches, that's the Magen Avraham we were talking about before, with the Masa Shekel. Magen Avraham writes the following chiddush. The Gemara discusses here, according to Rav Sheshes, Rava, Suras Abbas, Vahu Dikala Tirusa Dinala. How do you define a Suras Abbas? How far does something have to be broken down that now will argue that that is called Ibud Tohar Halechem? That Suras Abbas is no longer intact. So the Magen Avraham writes the following Chiddush, that this is a Machlokas, Rashi and Tosus. Where are Machlokas, Rashi and Tosos? So Magen Avraham writes, this is exactly our issue. According to Rashi, dealing with something that was subject to bishul, well, you go ahead and you take the lechem, and it's subject to bishul, it is certainly broken down. It is certainly broken down. The lechem is not intact. But now Rava says, you have to assess. If it still has a tzuras apas, then the bracha will be hamotzi. And if it doesn't have its tzuras apas, then the bracha is mezonos. You're dealing with something that already was significantly altered. And yet, Rava says, now you have to assess as to whether it has its tzuras apas or not. So the Magen Avraham writes that according to Rashi Shita, Ibud Tor Lechem means Nimuach Lagamre. Interesting finish. It means that it is something that is thoroughly altered. It's thoroughly dissolved. Vaharaya, that bishul alone does not mean that you have lost your tzuras apas. So what is ibud tzuras apas? The Magen Avraham writes, according to Rashi, you have to assume an extreme position. It means nimuach lagamre. Because we're talking about something that was significantly altered, and Rava still says that no, as long as there's a tzuras apas, the bracha is still amotzi. The Magen Avraham writes, this is not true according to Tosus. According to Tosus, Ashita, we're talking about bread that was combined. Bread that was combined, well, of course, there is still a tzuras alechem. The fact that you add chalav, marak, dvash, that automatically means it doesn't have a tzuras apas. So that's exactly the chiddush of Rava, that if you're talking about bread pieces in combination, so now you have to assess whether it has its tzuras apas or whether it is not. So the Magen Avraham writes, they seem to have a very different definition of its tzuras apas. According to Tosus, you don't require nimuach lagamre in order to say that it no longer has its tzuras apas. According to Tosus, the fact that it is broken down, the fact that its composition is altered, that's enough to say that it lacks its tzuras apas. And that's exactly why Tosus would not assume, as Rashi, that we're talking about a case of shenizbashlu. But what is Rava talking about? If it's nizbashlu, by very definition, it no longer has its tzuras apas. So different nafkaminas, right? According to Rashi and Tosus, not just simply in terms of understanding what the mitzvah is, the definition of chavitza is, but as Rabbi Yonah suggests that according to Tosus Hashita, bishul automatically would result in mezonos. According to Magen Avraham, you're forced to assume they have a different hagdara to Rava's chiddush in our Gemara. What is it that constitutes ibud tzuras halachim? Rashi Shita. Rashi comments that we're talking about cases of right piruri halachim shenis bashni. So the Rishonim are bothered by two difficulties in the sugya, right? According to Rashi. Tosus raised one issue. This is found in Tosus and the Rash. The Gemara says, how do you understand this chiddush of Yosef in light of the Braisa? If liket mikulan kazayis v'chalon, when it comes to matzah, yotzi dei chavasa v'pesach. Tosfos says that that's not talking about Bishl at all. No, Tosfos says, Koya Chameshes Aminim. Tosfos writes, the top Tosfos, Rasel Chavitza, what exactly is that case? That you went ahead and you took the Chameshes Aminim, and you have smaller pieces, so in such an instance, even if it's combined, you're Yatsi Yedei Matzah. According to Rashi, how does that relate to the case of Rabbi Yosef? Rabbi Yosef was referring to a case of Pri Lechem, and they were subject to Bishul. Tosfos says that's not the case of the Brais at all. So how does Rashi feel that a Brais says bring a Raya to Rabbi Yosef Shita when it's just simply talking about Pirun Shini Stavku? So the simple answer is the following. Rashi makes a brief comment in our Gemara that you see that's not true. The Rashi in our Sugya, Dermaskol Ba'atan Yelikeit, Rashi writes two words, Psisei Hamanachos. Psisei Hamanachos. Not as Tosfos. Tosfos says, Poshav Shat Nebrai says, Likeit means Chamesh Saminim. You go ahead and you take pieces, right, of Lechem. No, Rashi says you take pieces of a mincha. What is the chiddush of psisei hamanachos? In other words, you have pieces of lechem that was subject to tigun. And tigun is comparable to bishul. No, that machlokis, Rashi and Tosfos, obviously. That flows from the definition of chavitza. When the Gemara is bringing a raya to the shita of Rav Yosef, mina minala, and it does so from that case of liket mikulan v'achalon, mikulan of what? Tosfos says mechamesh saminim. V'lo manachos. And Rashi disagrees. Of course Rashi disagrees, because the Gemara is interested in proving whether Bishul or Tigun has altered the composition of Lechem. So Rashi obviously, right, deals with the Kasha. Rashi answers in those two words, Psisei Hamanachos. The Rush raises a further Kasha. And that's from the Sugi earlier on Daf Lamed Zayin Amad Aleph. There the Gemara quoted the Brais as follows. Hakos is a sachita, what we discussed at length. The person shoots chitim, then the bracha is bari pri adama. But now the brisa continues. We emphasize the first half of the brisa. Right? A person goes and eats chitim in its raw state, the bracha is a berchas adama. Good. But the brisa continues. Tachana va'af'a ubishla. If now the chitim were subject to afia and then bishul, and then Bishul. So what does the Braisa say? Bizman Shabrusus Kayamos. No, if the Lechem is still intact, then it's Amotzi. And Eina Prusus Kayamos, if it's no longer intact, then it's Mizamnos. Okay. The Rush in Simen Yud, and Tosus here on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, refer you to the Yerushalmi. Tosfos Dermaskel Amar Rava. How do you define Prusas Kayamos or Ein Prusas Kayamos? How do you define that? So the Yerushalmi says that Prusas Kayamos, Yerushalmi has one word, the Kazayis. If you still have a Kazayis which is intact, then the Brachas Amos. If Ein Prusas Kayamos Bikazayis, meaning it's Pachos Mikazayis, in such a case, the bracha is Mizonos. So here you have a brace in the Foreshets. Now that tells us that if Tachana Va'afa Ubishla, as long as there is a Kazayis, the bracha is Hamotzi. So the Rush asks, that's not what our Gemara says. Our Gemara concludes as follows, that Rav Sheshe says, Hai Chavitza, Afagav de Lesle Purim Bekazayis Mevarach Lehamotzi. If you have this thing called Chavitza, even if you don't have a Kazayis, it's not intact, the Brach is considered to be Hamotzi. What is Chavitza according to Rashi? Piru Lechem, they were subject to Bishul. That's the exact case of the Braisa. And Aflam and Zayin. Tachana afa ubishla. And the Braisa says, as long as prusos kayamos, you may come out see. And the Rishami writes, prusos kayamos means bekazayis. Pachos mikazayis, the bracha is mezonos. That means that Rav Sheshis is going against this Braisa. The way Rashi understands that chavitza is that which is subject to bishul, so Rav Sheshis says, regardless of whether Perure kazayis or lesser peru kazayis, the bracha is hamotzi. Now, how can Rav Sheshis say that? It's explicitly against the Braisa. If you hold as Tosa Sushita, there's no kasha whatsoever. Chavitz is something else entirely different. Chavitz is talking about Pirurim Shinidbuku. No, so that's what Rav Sheshis says. If you're dealing with Pirurim Shinidbuku, so I understand, even if the Pirurim are relatively small, they haven't been altered, so Rav Sheshis says, the Brach is still Hamotzi. But if they're a Pirurim Shinizbashlu, of course that's not true. Then we only retain the bracha hamotzi if you're dealing with chunks of a kazayis. Very good. So the sugyan lamazayim and aleph and lamazayim beis are two completely different sugyas entirely. Lamazayim and aleph is dealing with bishul. Lamazayim and beis is dealing with hadbak al yedei mashkin. So of course they have different criteria. Good. But the Rashi writes, according to Rashi, what do you mean? This is exactly the same sugya. Pibri lechem sinish bashlu. And enough Lamed Zayin, the Gemara quotes a Braisa that tells us because Zayin is Hamotzi, and all of a sudden Rav Sheshis says differently. But how can that be? How can that be? So here as well, one could envision several possibilities. One possibility, you don't have to look very far. How does Rashi define Prusos Kayamos in the Braisa? Enough Lamed Zayin of an Aleph. So if you look back, and you look at Rashi, Rashi Damasco Shaprusos Kayamos, Rashi writes, Shalo Nimochu Bebishulam. Rashi does not define as the Yerushalmi. Rashi here writes the following, Prusos Kayamos means that it wasn't thoroughly dissolved in the Bishul process. In other words, Lo nimuach lagamre. In other words, that's what the Magen Avraham said according to Rashi is the definition of Surah Sapas. So you have a brice that tells us Naf Lamed Zayim and Aleph, if you take lechem and you cook it, you're going to make hamotzi as long as it has tirusa dinama, as long as it has a Surah Sapas. No, that's exactly what the brice says. As long as prusos kayamos. Rav Sheshis and Rava are telling you pshat in this brayse. Exactly. Exactly. The brayse alone is unclear. The brayse just uses the term of prusos kayamos. What is the definition of prusos kayamos? No, the answer is exactly this point. No, that's exactly where Rashi writes this in Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Because if Rashi were to define this differently, that would be at odds with Rav Sheshis and Rava. So whatever we're going to maintain is the Shita Rav Sheshis and Rava, which is Rashi Shita, that's going to be Pshat in this Braisa. So very good. That's exactly the Chiddush. Right? The one difficulty apparently in Achinami. This is against the Yerushalmi. Right? This is against the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi defines Prusos Kayamos as Prusos Kayamos Bakazayis, Nasi Bakazayis. Rashi understood that. That's against our Gemara. Because our Gemara is in the case of Chavitza, and Chavitza is exactly this case, and Rav Sheshis says Kazayis is irrelevant. All that's relevant is whether Nimuach Ilo Nimuach Lagamre. So obviously, the Bavli is against the Yerushalmi. Tosus maintains that it's not true that the Yerushalmi's definition of Prusos Kayamos is true to Chuliyama. Well, isn't that against Lamed Zayin Amud Beis? No, because the whole process is different. Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph is Bishul, Lamed Zayin Amud Beis is Hadbaka. And therefore, these are different factors entirely. That's the Machlokas Rashi and Tosas L'Shitasei. Now, so you understand the two kashas that Rishonim raise, right? Rashi dismisses, right, just in those few words. Rashi and Shaprusos, Noni Mucha B'Yushulon, Right? That's to counter the kasha of the Rosh. And when Rashi writes, hear this case on Amud Beis, where Rashi writes the following, that is referring to the case of Menachos, that's against the sheet of Tosos, right? In order to resolve both kashas, Rashi Mineu Bei, is something which is very, very clear. If you look at the Tosos and Daflam and Zayin Amud Beis, Tosos does soften it a little bit, where it's possible, perhaps, to reconcile Rashi even with the Yerushalmi. When Tosas Dera Maskil that Amar Rava quotes this Yerushalmi, where the Yerushalmi writes that Prusas Kemos means Bakazayis, what exactly does that mean? Categorically. It's categorically a Kazayis. No, how does that fit then with our Sugya, the Tzuras HaPas, and so on? So Tosas writes that really the Yerushalmi is somewhat Lav Davka. Tosus writes the following, that Lefi Shekein Derech, Lios, Teresa Denama, but Kazayis. Normally speaking, if something is a Kazayis, it will have its Teresa Pas. So therefore, the Yerushalmi uses the term Kazayis almost as a synonym for Teresa Pas. But true, Pa'amim, Afilu Pachos Mi Kazayis Ika Teresa Denama. In other words, Tosus writes against the Rush that the Yerushalmi maybe shouldn't be taken so literally. When the Yerushalmi writes, you require kazayis, that's another way of saying you require tzuras hapas, and the Yerushalmi is speaking in a more imprecise way that, look, if you have a significant amount of lechem, obviously you have a tzuras hapas. But lav dafka that, the shir is considered to be a kazayis. Okay, so according to Rashi, you have right, these two possibilities. Right, and either Rashi will assume very simply, it's a machlokas bavi the Yerushalmi, that's what it seems from Rashi, or to argue that Yerushalmi is somewhat lavdafka, it really doesn't mean kazayis, but rather, right, it's just an indicator that the Tzuras HaPas is still maintained. In light of what we discussed, the name of the Magen Avraham, the first approach seems the most reasonable. Because again, if you assume as Tosus, Magen Avraham writes, Tzuras HaPas is not defined as Rashi. Rashi says that something that lacks a Tzuras HaPas means nimuach lagamri. It's completely broken down. The lechem is completely dissolved. It would be very unusual that the Yerushalmi would use a phrase of kazayis to indicate Rashi's definition of ibud Tzuras HaPas. If you assume as the Magen Avraham Tosas Hashita, and that is that, no, it has to be that which is clearly nikar, that it's lechem, that's what we discuss in terms of Tzuras HaPas and Ibud Tzuras HaPas. But you don't require that something has to be thoroughly broken down in order to argue that the Tzuras HaPas is gone. In such a case, the Yerushalmi is very precise, according to Rashi. According to Tosas, you understand, right? The Yerushalmi is telling if there's a Kazayis, it's Nikar that it's Pas. But if according to Rashi, it's not a question of Nikar as opposed to Eino Nikar. Even if something is subject to Bishlo, Kinsula Vatsuras HaPas, it means Nimuach Lagamre, as the Magen Avraham writes, it's even harder to fit right, Rashi into the Yerushalmi, because why would the Yerushalmi say Kazayis and less than a Kazayis as an indicator of whether there is a Tzuras HaPas or whether or not, if you're assuming Rashi Shita of Nimuach Lagamre? So, Poshub Shat, right, Rashi assumed that the Sugi Minei Obey is so to the Yerushalmi, and therefore there's no reason to reconcile the Bavli Yerushalmi in that fashion. If you look in the Smag, and this is perhaps a third shita, the Smag is found in Essay Chav Zayin. The Smag just writes the following, that when the Yerushalmi writes that you require a kazayis, the Yerushalmi is talking about a case de les be toar lechem. Of course, Tzuras HaPas is the koveya. But maybe one could envision, as the Smag writes, that true, it's not fully recognizable. If someone asks you, what is this? You wouldn't necessarily be able to tell that it was lechem, was not lechem. Right? The consistency is no longer clear. But perhaps the Yerushalmi is telling us the following chiddush, and Yerushalmi is being very precise. And that is that irrespective of Tzuras HaPas, if there is a kazayis, so then, the bracha is hamotzi. I look at it, it's not obvious to me what it is. Maybe it was baked. Maybe it was never baked at all as lechem. Maybe it was just simply baked as mezonos. But if you'll tell me it was lechem, and there is a kazayis, pirun, dispe kazayis, then by definition, the bracha is considered to be hamotzi. That's the chiddush that the Smad suggests in the Kavanah of the Yerushalmi, that even when there is no tzuras apas, if there is a kazayis, the bracha is hamotzi. If, however, there is a tzuras apas in such a case, then you don't require that there has to, in fact, be a kazayis. In other words, the ability to reconcile Rosh Hashanah together with Yerushalmi. Rav Sheshet says Tzuras Hapas, the Yerushalmi says Kazayis. They're not alternative definitions. If you have a Tzuras Hapas, you're fine. If you don't have a Tzuras Hapas, that's when you require the Kazayis. That's what the Smag writes. If that's true, right, one could argue again that could be the case even according to the Rashi Sheet as well. These are not at odds at all, right, the Yerushalmi and Rav Sheshet, but rather these are two tracks. And in such a case, one could envision both possibilities in terms of the ability to recite the bracha of Hamotzi. So these are three different possibilities of resolving the kasha of the Rosh, right, against the sheet of Rashi. The first kasha, Tosos, Rashi is explicit. What Tosos says is not pshat in the Braisa. Tosos says the Braisa is referring to Chamesha Saminim. No, Rashi says it's referring to Menachos. So that's it. So it's no kasha whatsoever. But how do you resolve the two sugyas, Lamazayim, Alav, Zayim, Beis? The three possibilities. I pointed out perhaps the Svar of Pshuta that Rashi understands Lamazayim, Alav very differently. Right? And Pashav Shah, that means it's against the Yerushalmi. The possibility of Tosos that the Yerushalmi is Lav Dafka, in which case one could reconcile Rashi even with Yerushalmi, although he pointed out, according to Magen Avraham, more difficult. The third possibility is that the Yerushalmi and Rav Sheshet are referring to two different things entirely. That even if it's something which is Nimoach, Megamri maybe? Maybe that's not so simple. Even if it's something where it's not nikar that it's the Shem Lechem, but if there's such an abundance that it's a kazayis, in such a case, that's the Chiddush Yerushalmi, the bracha would be hamotzi, even though there is no tzuras hapas. But if there is a tzuras hapas, Rosh Hashanah is right. That's when you don't require a kazayis. So these are three possibilities in resolving this issue. Okay, we'll discuss tomorrow this further, the Machlokas, Rashi, and Tosas. Take a look at these Tosas and very carefully, the top Tosas of Chavitza, right, and the Tosas of Amarava, together with the Rashi of Inyona, right, then we'll further have to discuss this Machlokas Rishon regarding the Tzuras Hapas as being the Koveya of Bracha, and then again, the suggestion of Yosef of who is the heir son. If you go ahead and you reconstitute, you go ahead and, right, re-knead, make it into a dough once again, so in such a case, then the bracha would be hamotzi. What exactly is that definition of ersin when you assume that is the case?